Ladies and gentlemen, we take pleasure in presenting another of the stories especially selected for us by Edwin Balmer, the distinguished editor of Red Book Magazine. Editor Balmer is here to tell you why he selected A Gentleman Passes by Frank R. Adams for Red Book. Mr. Balmer.
Thank you, Mr. Clemenger. Frank R. Adams is one of the best of our romantic writers. He likes love, gallantry, and a laugh. Do you remember his great successes, Almost a Lady and A Stubborn Cinderella? We found the same qualities in his story, A Gentleman Passes By, which you will now hear in dramatic form.
Katie was the trimmest, neatest little thing. Peter Martin thought she didn't look the least like a waitress. Somehow Peter was always lunching at Bailey's Grill, though it was quite a distance from Wall Street, and he always managed to sit at one of her tables. Katie thought he liked her rather especially, but she couldn't be sure. He was awfully nice.
Well, Katie, what's on the menu today? How's the thistle bristle soup?
Sorry, sir. We're fresh out of that, but the cream of thumb puree is fine. Want some?
Oh, I'll just have some potato potage or some turnips, maybe.
Oh.
You know, my mother used to tell me turnips would give you blue eyes. Is that where you got yours, Katie?
There was always a smile from Peter, but perhaps that was his way with everyone. Then one Saturday afternoon, Katie met him quite by accident on the street as she was on her way to take the subway home.
Well, if it isn't Katie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I say, I didn't know you in that new fur coat. Oh, you look grand.
Well.
Where bound?
It's my half day off. Mr. Bailey lets a few of us go each afternoon. There isn't a very big rush in this district.
Well, now, I didn't think they ever let you out of that cage. Which way are you going? Maybe I can drop you somewhere.
Well, I'm on my way home, up above the cathedral.
I'm headed for the university myself. Say, I've got a couple of tickets for the football game. Columbia's playing Syracuse. My partner couldn't go, and I was going to toss the game over. Would you like to go with me?
Oh, I've never seen a football game, Mr. Martin. That is a big college game. But I used to play with my brothers on the neighborhood team. It was lots of fun.
Oh, that's fine. Come along, then. That's my car over there.
Oh, is that your car?
Uh-huh. Step right in. We'll drive up to the field.
A Rolls Royce. Oh, it's a beautiful car, Mr. Martin.
Glad you like it, Katie. We can just get up there in time for the second half. Seven to six. Man, that was close. Did you like the game, Katie?
Oh, it was wonderful. Oh, it all seems like a dream.
I'll bet it seemed like a dream to that quarterback when those three fellows tackled him on his one-yard line. Went down hard, didn't he?
You know, we had the very best seats of all. Oh, I've never had such a wonderful afternoon in my life.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Katie. You know, it's been pretty nice for me.
And I did enjoy the ride uptown so much. It was grand.
Then how about running down to a little place I know? Did you ever have a Dubonnet, Katie?
No.
Or a Daiquiri? They make them in Cuba, and they go down fine.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. We'll have a cocktail down at Henry's, and then go to dinner somewhere.
Well, I'll have a cocktail, and I'd love to have dinner with you, Mr. Martin, but I... Well, I think I'd better not this time.
Then the next time, anyway. Look here. Next Saturday.
Well, I'm not off on Saturday again for 2 months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm afraid I am, too.
Now, Peter was not the sort of man who tunes in easily on romance. Neither did the role of the condescending Prince Charming suit him in the least. Katie had been easy to amuse as a kitten. Her pleasure so genuine that Peter had found a renewed interest in life for himself that afternoon. She liked him, and strangely enough, his own emotions responded to her liking for him as he'd never before responded to anyone. He was disappointed in not being able to take her home the next Saturday, and his disappointment made him decidedly uneasy over Sunday. He did a lot of thinking. As a result of his idea, his partner, George Dixon, went in to see Katie next day.
Luncheon today, Mr. Dixon?
Any little tidbits that you've got laid away are mine today, Katie. Our little friend Peter will not be in.
Oh, is Mr. Martin gone away?
Only for 2 or 3 weeks. He's sailing tonight for Paris on the Imperator, but he's coming right back.
Oh, on the water?
Absolutely on the water all the way. unless the Atlantic freezes over before midnight, in which case the boat will leave the dock fitted with skates.
But the Imperator's a pretty big boat, isn't it, Mr. Dixon?
One of the best, smokestacks and all. Fast, too.
I expect there's always a big crowd sailing, isn't there?
Yes.
On the pier and all. Will you have consommé today, Mr. Dixon, or a fruit salad?
Get a line on those trunks over there, Stuart, will you? A big one goes to the cabin. They're all checked. The bag is mine, too. And this is... Why, Katie! Oh, I never in the world expected...
Well, our father brought you right over here. I didn't know these were your trunks. I was just standing here waiting to...
Well, this is great. A regular send-off.
Well, Mr. Dixon said... But I just thought I'd watch the boat go and I... Well, I didn't think I'd get a chance to see you.
Oh, Katie, you're a darling. You know, I was wishing that you, of all the world, would be here to say goodbye. And I step out on deck, and sure enough, here you are.
Is it an awfully safe boat?
Why, Katie, it's the safest boat ever. And you've been worrying about me?
Well, the ocean scares me a little, Mr. Martin.
Now, don't you Mr. Martin me, Katie. Listen, if you ever call me anything but Peter...
All right, Peter. Well, it does scare me a little. But you'll be back.
3 weeks, I think. And Katie. Oh, my sweet. Come here.
Oh, Peter.
Oh, dearest. I've wanted to kiss you ever since the world began. Now, I'll be back the very first boat I can catch.
But...
I know already what I was going to find out. Oh, my sweet.
But, Peter...
Everything seems very simple.
All ashore, let's go ashore. All ashore, let's go ashore.
Everything seems very simple for us now.
But it isn't, Peter.
Now, darling, you've got to hurry down the gangway.
But...
Go, darling.
But Peter,
I'll... Goodbye, Katie. Goodbye, dearest. Goodbye, darling. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Meet Mrs. Fitzhale and her daughter, Helen, in the Paris edition of the Ritz. Time, the Wednesday of the week Peter sailed. Place, Mrs. Fitzhale's Louis XIV drawing room.
Helen, my dear, I've just received a note from Prince Stephen. The prince is going to call this afternoon.
Oh, lovely. I'll have my Adele do my hair. The prince is so charming.
Tell me, dear, haven't you told the prince yet that you're engaged to Peter Martin?
No, but I suppose so now that Peter's due to arrive. Why on earth did Peter have to follow me over here? I'll be seeing him all my life, and this is positively my last weekend with Stefan. Peter would have to pop up at a time like this. It's ridiculous.
Well, I always did think Stefan would have been more to your... Oh, Annette, how many times must I tell you not to walk in on us like this?
Oui, madame.
Well, French servants never learn. Well, what is it?
A telegraph message for mademoiselle.
Well, don't stand there holding it. From Peter, I suppose. Announcing his arrival and enduring love. Oh, he would start with a lot of telegrams. But why? Why, mother?
What's the matter, Helene? What does it say? You're as white as a ghost.
Peter is dead.
Peter is dead?
Oh, it's simply preposterous. I can't believe a word of it. This message is from his partner, George Dixon. Oh, why,
What does it say?
Well, it says he died saving a child who had fallen overboard. Oh, dear. Oh, died to save a child.
There, you mustn't cry, dear. Oh. If Peter's gone, it won't do you any good.
Oh, I can't help it, Mother. After all, we were engaged.
Well, I'll take care of the obligatory messages for you.
Pardon, sir. Prince Stefan is waiting below.
It's the prince, Helene. I'll send word that you can't see him just now.
Oh, thanks, Mother. You think of everything.
Annette, tell Prince Stefan.
Oh, no, Mother. Wait, just a minute. Maybe I can wash my eyes so they won't show. You know, I believe I'll go to luncheon with him after all. Does my hair look all right? You know, it would do me a lot of good to go out with someone like the prince. Someone amusing to take my mind off my great sorrow.
Oh, of course, darling. That would be much better. And you won't have to tell him about Peter at all now.
Extra, could drown and rescue yourself. And
so we find morning in New York, and in a certain little apartment up on 122nd Street, a man and his wife are hurrying through breakfast.
Say, listen to this, Katie, will you? Here in the paper, some big shot down on Wall Street jumped off a ship in mid-ocean and rescued a kid that had fallen overboard. The sailors lowered a lifeboat and managed to pick up the child,
yes,
but...
Yes, I read it.
Yeah, I managed to pick up the child, it says, but they lost a grip on this fella just as they was hauling him over the gunwales, and he went under for good.
Oh, please don't read any more of it, Jack.
Well, you wouldn't think one of those brokers would have nerve enough to jump overboard, would you? It says here he was the last lineal descendant of one of America's most distinguished families.
Jack, please.
Say, for Pete's sake, what's got into you this morning anyhow? You burned the toast and you look like you've been eating green apples. Why don't you sit down and eat your breakfast?
I'll be late getting downtown, Jack. I've got to hurry it.
Well, you certainly did get up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Always making things tough. What's the matter with you, Katie?
I've got to run now. Goodbye.
Well, a dickens of a wife you are, I must say. 3 years ago, when you and me was first married, it was...
And with the closing of the door, little Katie will not return till after midnight. Maybe by that time, she can get into step once more and mark time in the spot that was permanently assigned to her. Maybe. Magazine gave us special permission to broadcast this story, A Gentleman Passes By, written by Frank R. Adams. Next week at this same time, we take pleasure in announcing that we will present another story in dramatic form from Red Book Magazine.